right, Sandy Rios with you. You might have guessed it, but today we're going to celebrate. This was the sound of the beginning of the fireworks at the 250th celebration of that year for the Army. The Army was founded before the country was founded. It was a great celebration. They had a beautiful platform. President Trump, Melania, Vice President Vance and his wife and children, Cabinet, Pete Hegseth. It was a beautiful arrangement. And, of course, all the tanks. They actually displayed the troops in period pieces and period costumes of the history of the Army. And you're going to hear a little bit of touch of that as we listen today, because I'm going to play quite a bit of it for you. We loved it. Bruce and I watched it. We absolutely loved it. And I want you to hear it. Actually, I want you to see it. If you go to whitehouse.gov, that is the very best recording of the whole thing. And if you don't want to watch everything, you can fast forward it. But I'm telling you, you won't be sorry. It was a glorious celebration of this nation. So this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform on afr.net, home base for us, or you can listen at sandyrios.com or any social media platform. Well, in 2022 in Washington, D.C., there was a really grisly discovery. There were five preemie babies found in the home of the director of a pro-abortion group. They could have lived. They were fully formed, and yet they were aborted. And so now many pro-life organizations are trying to get the Justice Department to prosecute a doctor and the people that helped do that. You know, abortion continues to make the news, and it's because it is such a horrific thing to think about a baby killed either by partial birth abortion or removed and then killed. And that's what's happening. It's still happening. The Biden administration did not prosecute that case, and so it's coming up again. You're going to be hearing about that. Well, that's why preborn really is the best solution to all of these abortion-related issues. Because they try to get to the women in a most redemptive way by showing them photos of their little babies inside their womb. It's a very creative, redemptive, beautiful way of stopping abortion. Because when the moms see that, they choose to save their babies. Most of them do. And so that's why I bring preborn to your attention every time I'm at this mic. Because they deserve your support. And of course, they also, the other wonderful thing about preborn is that they tend to the spiritual condition of the mom and even the partner, the father, if he's around. And so they do great work, and that's why they deserve our support. If you haven't donated to preborn before, it's just $28 for one ultrasound. That's to provide one ultrasound. And of course, any multiple of that, any amount, is really welcome. But I wanted to give you an idea of what the minimum would be. That would be $28, would help save the life of one baby. And so if you'd like to do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, you're in for a treat. And oh, by the way, if you don't like music and if you don't like fireworks sounds, you won't enjoy this show, but I think you will. And so fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. A celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States Army on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Before we even had a country, we had an army. They started as a small, unorganized group of shop owners and farmers, but they fought the most powerful army in the entire world to a standstill in Concord, Lexington, and Bunker Hill.
Then our Continental Congress chose George Washington as general of our Continental Army.
But it wasn't until 1 year later, on July 4th, 1776, that news arrived of the signing of our Declaration of Independence.
Now we had a new army and a new nation.
With little gunpowder, no shoes, bloody feet, few cannons, little training, and even less food.
Valley Forge started in December. They went into winter camp in December of 1777. Approximately 2,000 Americans died that winter of disease.
They lived through hell, but they never, ever gave up. Not this army, not this first American army.
Finally, Washington and his army arrived here at Yorktown, where they had General Cornwallis and his powerful British army trapped in this city against the sea.
All of the preparation that Washington has learned through the course of those 6.5 years meets its full force here at Yorktown, and he employs it brilliantly.
Sailing from the Caribbean, the French Navy arrived and took on the British fleet.
Washington decided to make his move. Our men began digging to get closer and closer to the fort, finally getting within rifle and cannon range. Naturally, George Washington chose to set off our first cannon shot.
The British had two small forts in front of the main fort. They were called Redoubts 9 and 10.
Then, on the moonless night of October 14, the American and French forces attacked the redoubts. The hand-to-hand combat with bayonets, knives, and fists was bloody, to say the least. But within an hour, we were victorious.
And as the sun came up the next day, Cornwallis looked out and realized he was in serious trouble. So he prepared an all-out, desperate counterattack.
It didn't work, and the British were forced to surrender.
We were supposed to lose to the best army and the largest and most professional navy in the world.
But our young army had won the war and our freedom, the freedom we hold so dear. And 250 years later, for what started as a ragtag group of shop owners, has now become the most powerful army in the world.
Today, many things are very different from that army here at Yorktown, but one thing remains the same. An undying passion, guts, and love for our country remains deep in the heart of today's army. When I look into their faces, you can see it. That will never change. God bless the United States Army, and God bless the United States of America.
All right, Sandy Reels with you. And that was one of the beginnings of the parade. They had tanks and planes and drones like dogs that were fascinating. And Bruce and I watched the entire thing, and I've asked him to join me today, kind of talk about it. Bruce, do you ever get tired of hearing the story of our foundings, of that first war, the War of the Revolution?
Never. And I think if you don't think there are miracles that are happened, look back at that war, as they described in the tape. We were a ragtag bunch of farmers, shopkeepers, normal people, quote unquote, and we took on literally the biggest, best army in the world and beat them.
It really is a miracle. And I think it bears repeating, because there's so much criticism of doing this, and there's so much of a vacuum of the knowledge of our founding and why America's story is so extraordinary. You know, I'll just tell one story. I remember of all the history that I have in my head, one of my favorite stories. George Washington, by the way, was the chaplain of the troops. And if men were in the Revolutionary Army, if they were caught cursing, they were whipped. He was a very stern but powerful, and they loved him. His name went down in history as the most beloved general ever. But one story is about a Tory. Tory was an American who was loyal to the British, because they were split then. Imagine that. And so a Tory was walking through the woods, and he heard a voice. Now, in those days, it was not unusual to pray out loud. And so President Washington was in the woods, had gone off to be by himself away from his men. He's on his knees, and he's praying out loud. And the Tory went back home and told his wife, "We're going to lose this war. I just heard General Washington praying." And that's how it started. That's why that a story is so extraordinary. So, Bruce, anything else about the parade that I didn't mention, just a truncated version, because we'd like people to watch it at whitehouse.gov if they can.
Well, I think, as usual, the left tried to set a narrative that was anti-parade right off the bat, talking about that it would be an homage to President Trump, the cost would be astronomical, it's wasteful, it's similar to what goes on in communist dictatorships where they have these annual, usually on May Day, these parades where they show off the hardware and the soldiers of their army. And in my opinion, this parade was anything but that. It was not an homage to President Trump. In fact, President Trump, while he was center stage, I think really restrained himself. He had a short address. When the troops would come by, he would stand up and salute.
Every time they came by, he stood up and saluted for 3 hours.
He did, you know, and I'll say this. If you watch the troops, this was not like in a communist country when they come by and they snap, like, you better be at attention to the leader. This was honor and dignity shown to the commander-in-chief, which is proper. But there was no genuflecting or anything like the left told you this was going to be, basically everyone bowing down to dictator Trump.
Yes.
And it was not that. Also, the fact that they talked about the cost. Well, let me tell you what goes on in Washington. There's at least 5 parades that are done annually. So every year they have a gay pride parade. They have a Latino parade called Fiesta DC. They have the 4th of July parade. They have Memorial Day parade and the Cherry Blossom Festival parade. Now, those are annual, so every year those are paid for, and no one seems to have any problem with paying for those. But a once-in-a-lifetime 250th anniversary of the Army, and the left goes crazy.
Yes, and I remember, just to talk about why our parades are different and why our soldiers are different, American troops have always been warriors. I remember General Boykin talking to me about this, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, who founded the Green Beret. They are warriors. They are not conquerors to go in and pillage and take from countries and conquer. They are sent to save. Now, we've had a lot of blunders. We've made a lot of mistakes. But our ethos is one of honor and pride and caring. And if you know anything about what happened in World War II or other wars, people were glad when the Americans came in. Reasonable people were relieved when America would march in and liberate their countries. That's the ethos of the American warrior. We're not beating our chest to conquer the world. We should have conquered a lot more things. We never took oil fields. We just didn't take. We gave back. And to the people that we defeated, we built their countries back. We built back Germany. We built back Japan. And so it's a very different kind of warfare. It's a very different kind of military. And so that's what we were celebrating. Now, Bruce, you mentioned President Trump. There was a point at which there were lots of new recruits, and they came and stood before the platform, before the president. And I want people to hear what it sounds like when you – this must be a little bit like your oath when you took for the FBI, Bruce, but this is their oath of office to defend this country. This is clip 12.
Mr. President, First Sergeant Norton reporting for duty, sir. Ready to commence the ceremony as directed.
I state your name.
I.
Do solemnly swear,
that I will support and defend
the Constitution of the United States of America, against all enemies, foreign and domestic,
that I will bear true faith
and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders
of the President of the United States
and the orders
of the officers appointed over me
according to regulations And the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
And the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Welcome to the United States Army and have a great life. Thank you very much. Have a great life. Thank you.
All right. So that's a little bit of it. It was a beautiful. And I noticed, Bruce, I just thought when the soldiers were marching by and they were, of course, they were all Army, but different branches of the Army, the 82nd Airborne, which is so famous for what it's accomplished. Mm-hmm. What about those robot dogs?
And, you know, we've seen those also being deployed by the Secret Service. They really do look like a dog skeleton. And they crawl like a dog, you know, they walk like a dog, but they're very important. They're used for surveillance. They're used for bomb removal, bomb sniffing. They are multidimensional, and it's neat to see something. You know, it really was funny to see it look like a dog.
Yeah, it was really funny. You know, one thing I want to say, the weather was terrible. They were predicting rain, and so they weren't sure how many people would come or if it would even work out. And so the rain held off for the whole night. It never started. Through all those 3 hours, there was no rain. And, of course, a parade under the, you know, President Trump's presidency, an event wouldn't be the same without Lee Greenwood. So this is Lee Greenwood singing Proud to Be an American. But I want you to hear, if you could see the video, which I hope that you will watch again at whitehouse.gov, you'll see the people singing. You'll see guys standing on each other's shoulders singing this song. And then you'll hear at the end what happens. So let's listen to Lee Greenwood singing God Bless the USA, clip 14.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea. To Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say.
You to hear that, because I'll tell you that Bruce and I have been in D.C., of course, because having lived there for so long in different times and places, at those big events, and there's nothing like it, Bruce, to be with people who love this country and surrounded by that kind of joy.
You know, I never tire of Lee Greenwood singing that song, and the reason is because there's such passion both on his part and on the people that sing along as he sings. And those spontaneous USA chants at the end are always, they just give you chills.
President Trump joined them. He was chanting, too, from the platform.
Yeah.
It was really sweet.
President Trump, you know, he can relate to all people. It's amazing. He can be in a board meeting with heads of commerce. He can be in with leaders of countries. And then he can walk on the street and be with plumbers, electricians, cops, you name it. He relates to everybody.
Yeah. Now, they had a after the display of all the military equipment and the army and the different branches of it, they had a concert for the guys, a bit of a concert. And so I want to play a bit of this is Warren Zeiders, who's new to me. He's a country western artist, and the song is Light the Lightning Song. And I guess it's a song that the guys in the army like, and I think we should listen. This is clip 13.
Happy, happy birthday. Sing along. The song's called Ride the Lightning, y'all.
I would say this is a man song verse. Here we go. So the soldiers were loving this, so let's listen.
She did. One foot in the flames, and the other trying to walk the line. Can't say I never saw it coming. I could see the warning signs. Mama always said I was born on the wild side. I guess Mama was right. 'Cause when the clock strikes me, pulls me under, gonna fly on wings of fire, breathing good Lord lifts me high, singing oh when they call me on, singing oh when they call me on, gonna ride a lightning. I see you singing.
Well, I think what you said earlier, Sandy, about that's a real, I won't just say a man's only song, but it's for people that...
Ride the lightning?
They put it on the line. I know the people that I served with in the FBI that had been in the military, they loved rock music. They loved music with guts to it. And, you know, if you listen to the lyric of that, you know, he's talking about his mother saying, you were born on the wild side. You had one foot in the flames and one foot on the right side. And I think that kind of embodies the spirit that you need to be in the military and that the Army shows that, you know, you're on the right side, but when the chips are down, you got a wild side.
You got a wild side. You got to ride the lightning. And I think this is part of what we have to recover, Bruce, is the warrior ethos. We can't have guys who don't know how to even protect their wives and their families. We have to rediscover how God created man to protect their families, and protect means riding the lightning sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think if you contrast Lloyd Austin, who was the Secretary of Defense under Joe Biden, and Pete Hegseth, who now is serving under President Trump, you'll see the difference in what's going on in the Army and in the military. He is eaten up with getting it back to getting the military back to what they once were. And I don't think you're going to see masks and COVID things and gay pride and all that stuff, transgender. You heard a story the other day from Tony Schaefer that order that came down to stop these transgender surgeries had to be issued. Literally, one of the military doctors was rushing to do a transgender change surgery on someone, even though he knew that the order was coming. And they literally had to reach out and tell him directly at the operating room, stop that surgery. You're not going to do it. That's the kind of military that Pete Hegseth inherited. And look, in just 4 or 5 months since he's been on the job, the recruiting is through the roof. This parade, I think, is going to transform the you know, I can remember as a boy seeing these things. And look, these do not glorify war. They glorify serving your country.
Service, yeah. Selfless service.
And when you see that hardware and that, as a boy, I mean, I was absolutely drawn to it. And I was looking at the crowd that was there Saturday. And, of course, there were all kinds of people, all kinds of ages. But there were there was a ton of younger men there.
Yeah.
And I think that in today's society, there's becoming fewer and fewer outlets for young men to be what we would quantify as a real man.
Yeah.
Now, don't take that the wrong way, but I mean a man.
It's a rediscovery. That, yeah. It's a rediscovery. How can these guys help it? These young men have not known anything differently,
They've
Bruce.
Been tamped down, and so, here comes this parade, and you're like, you know what? That's what I want to be.
Yeah, and they're natural. They're natural, the way God created them, responds to this. It responds to this business of being a warrior. Now, I want to play, since you mentioned Pete and recruitment, the military ad just came out after the parade. I think it just came out today. And it's really how to just demonstrate what Bruce just said. This is clip 10.
No more electric tanks. No more gender confusion. No more climate change worship. We are laser focused on our mission of warfighting.
We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into. It's called peace through strength.
You look into the eyes of these young Americans who are giving up the best years of their life in a uniform to serve their nation, they are incredible.
Through our power and might, we will lead the world to peace. Our friends will respect us. Our enemies will fear us. And the whole world will admire the unrivaled greatness of the United States military. We will replenish the pride of our armed forces, end the recruitment crisis.
We don't fight because we hate what's in front of us. We fight because we love what's behind us.
God bless you. God bless our armed forces. God bless our men and women serving overseas. And God bless the United States of America.
I love that. And the problem with the military hasn't been them. It's been the leadership. We've had such terrible leadership, unmanly men who know nothing about fighting in the right way.
Think about when Joe Biden was president and the Defense Department came out and said that climate change was the number one threat to the national security of the United States.
I remember when our military, our State Department, after the Islamists murdered all of these people in the Charlie Hebdo, it's a magazine in France, and they sent over someone to help France in the midst of this, and they sent James Taylor to sing on his guitar, "You've Got a Friend." That was their response to that terror attack. This is our history in the last few years. No wonder our army and our military forces have been messed up. But Bruce, there was a turn now. They had a bit of a concert, and then they started the fireworks. And I want to explain this. The fireworks here are paired with history and music, and they take you through the various wars through music. And I just want to say before we listen, you're going to hear first the Revolutionary War, Yankee Doodle. That was the big Yankee Doodle went to town. That was the fife and lute and the drums. And then it goes to the Civil War, when Johnny comes marching home again. Hurrah, hurrah, when Johnny comes marching home again. Hurrah, hurrah. You'll hear that one. And then you'll hear the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is the Civil War. And then you'll hear Tchaikovsky's War of 1812. It's 1812 Overture. That's about the battle we had with the British in 1812. Honey, did you have something to add? Okay. All right. So let's listen. This is now it goes to the mall, and you see the Washington Monument and the fireworks, the incredible fireworks begin. And this is the soundtrack. Let's listen.
When I raised my right hand, I swore an oath to every generation before me. I wear the same branch insignia as the soldiers who crossed the Delaware. Before there was a nation, there was an army.
Division costs.
I serve because unity is worth the fight.
I carry that legacy forward every time I put on this uniform.
Right, that's just a little bit more now. The fireworks at the 250th celebration of the birthday of the Army, of the U.S. Army. Just a marvelous event. Bruce, let me just say a word. The Battle Hymn of the Republic, that's, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming. You heard the chorus, glory, glory, hallelujah. That was written the lyrics by Julia Ward Howe, who visited an army camp with President Lincoln and saw the soldiers praying with their Bibles, and she wrote that hymn from that. And then War of 1812, can you just say, we know, people don't know much about that war, Bruce. Can you just briefly tell them that was Tchaikovsky's, it ended with the War of 1812 overture.
Well, we actually almost ended up losing everything we'd gained in the Revolution in the War of 1812, but once again, we were fighting the British. The British were stopping our ships on the sea and impressing our sailors into their navy. They were threatening us from Canada. And the British invaded Washington, D.C. They came right up the river and tried to burn down Washington. In fact, they evacuated the White House. It was burned out. That's where you hear the story of Dolly Madison saving the portrait of George Washington that had been painted. And The miracle of that, though, is that the British were, it looked like they were going to, capture our whole capital and maybe turn everything around that we'd gained in the revolution. And a storm came, unlike any storm. And it ended up driving them out of the city.
They were going to burn the White House down.
They were in the process. And the rain extinguished many of the fires. And the British retreated. The Americans were able to regain their strength and beat them back. But that's the 1812 overture when you hear the cannons booming, and that was in memory of that 1812 war. That was also when the national anthem, the music to the national anthem was written by Francis Scott Key when the British tried to seize the forts in Baltimore Harbor, and they were attacking the forts, and that's where he talks about the rocket's red glare, that was the shooting going on back and forth between us and the British.
On that war, there's one other story. I remember reading that there were prayer, people in prayer all around Washington when the British invaded. There were people in homes huddled in prayer, praying that God would spare Washington and give them victory in spite of all odds. And then that rainstorm came. So that's part of our history, and you just kind of experienced it in music. Now, we then move into the modern wars, and they move to a couple of songs. You're going to hear General MacArthur, it's hard to hear him, but he says, duty, honor, country, and has a few other things after that, but that's his voice. And you're going to hear The Yanks Are Coming, and you're going to hear some other contemporary songs of World War II. Of course, Bruce and I, both of our fathers fought in that, and most of you know about those wars. But this is clip 18, and let's enjoy further more of the fireworks and the memory of the most modern wars. Here we go.
Both of my grandfathers served in the Second World War. They answered the challenges of their time. And it is my goal in this uniform to answer and meet the challenges of my time head on.
He ain't heaven. He's my brother.
The arms are swinging and cadence count. Sound off.
So that's the celebration of World War II, World War I. The Yanks are coming, and that was actually good news to the people of Europe when the Yanks came and won those wars and pushed back the Nazis and pushed back the Tsar before that, or not the Tsar, but the Kaiser, the German Kaiser. All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, you'll hear the conclusion of this great celebration in Washington of the Army's 250th anniversary on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7, and are you ready? Are you ready for the conclusion of the fireworks? You're going to hear all kinds of things. And the music is beautiful. You're going to hear a chorus, an army chorus singing, trumpets. It's just beautiful. Let's listen.
When I'm outside guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, it is one of the most honorable jobs I think that I could have had in the military. I think about those soldiers who made the ultimate sacrifice.
Oh, beautiful, for heroes proved in
right now.
humbling experience, putting on this uniform?
I believe this uniform is a symbol of trust, and it represents the highest ideals of our country.
Good, the Army, 250 years, that's the way it ended. And I just want to say that was all U.S. Army band, U.S. Army singers, U.S. Army chorus. So if any of you are musicians and you'd like to go into the Army, there's a great career there for you too. In fact, Bruce and I, when we were living in D.C., we used to hear the piccoloist of the U.S. Army band rehearsing in her apartment just down from us. But they have great musicians, and they are a great tribute to this country. That's another way to serve. Well, if you want to watch the entire thing, go to whitehouse.gov. Any final thoughts from you, honey?
Well, if ever there was an event that deserved a parade, I think it was Saturday with the 250th anniversary of the Army. Go Army. I can't say enough about them. I wish them, God bless them. These young people that go in and fight for us, you cannot imagine some of the things that they go through. And thank you.
Yeah, we want to thank them. Thank all of you who are serving, listening to this. And I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan. They make it possible for us to bring you shows like this, and they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, honey, thank you for joining me.
Oh, talk about an honor. This was an extreme honor.
It's fun, honey. It's fun. And celebratory. And thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.